Hello and welcome back to the WealthFest podcast with me, Marty Guilfoyle. The health, fitness and wellness podcast brought to you by WealthFest and their presenting partner, KBC. I'm so excited to be back for a second series. We'll be speaking to another incredible lineup of industry experts, hearing their inspiring stories and motivating us to move well, eat well and live well. This podcast, supported by KBC, is just one of many health and wellness resources available on wellfest.ie to help you on your wellness journey. With thanks to KBC, we'll be tapping into a wealth of knowledge with our guests to empower even more people of all ages to prioritise their health, fitness and well-being. Now, let's dive into this week's episode. So Zanna van Dijk is a business owner, personal trainer, ocean lover and online content creator. Recently included in Forbes 30 Under 30, Zanna is passionate about living a conscious lifestyle and enjoying the great outdoors. Zanna, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. Love that little intro.
Thank you. Look, for the people who are listening right now who know nothing about you, how about you tell us a bit about yourself?
Oh, I mean, it's really hard to condense these things. That's like the broadest question ever. And to try and condense that into a few sentences is a challenge. But I have a qualified personal trainer, qualified back 7-8 years ago now. Maybe 8 years ago. And then pursued PT, actually after doing a medical-based degree, but then switched, went into fitness, started doing PT, started sharing my journey online, and then became a content creator alongside PT, and now I'm a content creator with workout content and also a business owner. So that's kind of how the journey happened. And here I am. I create content online that's like active lifestyle related, so hiking, training, plant-based food, etc., getting outdoors. And then I also have a business, Stay Wild, which is a sustainable swimwear brand.
I've noticed that you're flying it with the content creation at the moment. Recently, I saw one of your reels got, 3.5 million views?
Yeah, I'm really enjoying. I'm enjoying the reels. They seem to be going down well. The algorithm favors them.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah. So that must have been mad, seeing all those like comments and stuff coming in from people who don't follow you. You know, you're like, hey, new people, this is what I do.
Yeah, I find I've had quite a few of my reels recently do all right in that sense. And it's actually, you get more comments from people who don't know you.
Yes.
So you're kind of like, you don't know me. Stop passing judgment.
Yeah, but I know what you mean. It's like, you don't even follow me. Why are you here? Like, yeah.
Literally.
Zanna, let's go back to 2016 when you released your book, Strong, Hoping to Empower Women to Weight Train. How has your relationship with fitness evolved over the last 5 years since you released that book?
I mean, it's changed a lot because back then I was like bodybuilding vibes. So proper strength training, like 100 kilo deadlifts. Mm-hmm. I had friends who were doing bikini competitions. I personally didn't go down that route, but a lot of my friends were doing that. And that was the sort of scene that I was in. And then as I grew older, had more life experience, fitness went from being my whole life, so my job, my passion, my hobby, everything that I did, to being like part of my life. So fitness now isn't really, but I mean, it's part of my life every day. I love it. It's part of my routine, but I'm not obsessed with it. And mm-hmm. I don't think about it every waking moment of the day. And my approach to it is much more relaxed. I don't have like a really strict routine with strength goals and fitness goals. I'm kind of just moving because I love to train and I love to feel strong and I want to have a resilient body. So yeah, I've definitely gone for more of like an aesthetic bodybuilding vibe to like a lifestyle, fitness is part of my lifestyle vibe, if that makes sense.
And can you remember that moment that you kind of decided, okay, it's not really about aesthetics anymore, it's more about physical health? Because a lot of people are struggling with that now, you know, and I can openly admit that I've gone through that phase too, where it's like, I'm cutting my calories to a certain amount per day, you know, I'm restricting my carb intake and I've done the plant-based route, I've done the vegetarian route as well. I found being a vegetarian works really well with me. I went through that phase of just trying everything because I was on Instagram and I was looking at pictures of guys and I was like, that's what I want. But then I just had one of those moments where I was like, well, that's not like healthy either, you know? Can you remember when you had that moment?
You know what? I didn't have one pivotal moment, but I slowly transitioned. However, I had one health scare in January 2019. Now, to be fair, before that health scare, I had like made the transition to living a more balanced, sustainable lifestyle maybe a couple of years before. But in January 2019, I had emergency bowel surgery and almost died. It was very traumatic. It happened on an island in the middle of nowhere as well. So it wasn't like I was in the UK.
Wow.
I was like abroad and had this emergency surgery. And my surgeon and I have stayed in touch ever since. Shout out Dr. Nishan. And he...
There he goes. He'll be getting loads of phone calls now after the podcast. Going, hey, we hear you're great.
You're great at, you know, stitching up bowels.
Yeah.
We got on really well in the hospital. And he said to me that he has never seen somebody bounce back so quickly from such a major surgery. And he's like, the reason that you've bounced back the way that you have is because of your lifestyle.
Okay.
And I think from that, it kind of just confirmed to me that I'm doing this because I want to be resilient, because I want my body to be like super fit, super strong, so that if this happens again, I have a 13% chance of the same thing happening to me.
Okay.
Then I'm ready. Like, I can bounce back again if this happens to me again. So yeah, I now, that really was like cementing my decision of having an active, healthy lifestyle and building a body that can take on whatever challenges life just throws at me, you know?
Yeah, that's crazy. That is some experience to go through. Can I ask you what can I ask you what island you were on? It sounds like a very secret one, the way you
No, I was in the Maldives.
Oh, lovely. So, okay.
Yeah, so I just started traveling the world, and I was going to do like a 2.5 month round the world trip. And I was 4 days in, and then...
It's not ideal in the Maldives, is it? No.
No, and I went to this, like, started off at this tiny local hospital with 6 beds and only an X-ray, no CT scans, no ultrasounds, nothing, so they couldn't diagnose me. And they were like, we don't know what's wrong with you. And I was like, I'm going to die.
This is what I want to hear in a hospital, yeah.
Yeah, it was really wild. It was a very wild experience. But genuinely grateful that it happened to me, because it taught me a lot. And yeah, I think I'm stronger because of it, so...
I love it. If you're listening right now, you can already pick up on Zana's positive vibes. Not many people can say they're grateful for going through bowel surgery. So, yeah.
I got a badass scar, mate. I've got the most badass scar. So, you know.
Originally, you qualified as a speech therapist before then training as a personal trainer. And now you're a business owner. So how have you found these transitions? Because there's a lot going on there.
Yeah. Yeah. So as I said, I did a... Bachelor of Medical Science in Speech Science. I specialized in stroke rehabilitation. And I figured that I would work in the NHS. That was what I always thought I'd be, in the NHS, working in SLT, preferably working acute care in hospitals. But I had this hobby of fitness alongside my degree. And then next thing you know, all these transitions happened. And they have been scary, because I am somebody who... is very organized. In a word, I'm anal. I like to know like what's happening, when it's happening, having structure in my life, and to go through so many transitions and changes and all of these things. If you know me as a person, you're like, this is so unlike you. But I also am not afraid to throw myself into things, so I don't really know what the outcome's going to be. What's the worst that can happen? I fail. So
yeah.
I've given everything a go. And it's been a massive learning curve. The way that I can summarize the last decade of my life is like one massive learning curve. And I'm very grateful for where I've ended up, but there's been lots of mistakes along the way.
Uh-huh. So you love a good plan, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And obviously, you know, by the time this podcast goes, when we're talking right now, you guys have got restrictions eased a little bit. Have you noticed that, you know, your day-to-day planning has changed a little bit since the easing of the restrictions, or is it similar enough?
You know what? Because you have to really book everything in, right? You have to book in your restaurants, you have to book in your hair, you have to book in everything that's opened up. Mm-hmm. And I kind of felt like it was a little bit overwhelming, because my life has had this really structured routine for the past 3 months of lockdown, to then be like, okay, now you can go and sit in a cafe. I'm like, where does that fit into my schedule that I have now?
Where you're waking up, you're having your morning coffee, and you know, you're getting on your Zoom calls and all that. Yeah,
exactly. So I actually haven't really thrown myself into it too much yet. I'm kind of just going with the flow. I want things to calm down so that I don't have to book everything. I just want to be able to walk into a cafe rather than booking a table at a cafe. Do you know what I mean? So that's my vibe. I don't want to get too stressed about all of these new freedoms that
it's
we have.
It's mad, because we had them before. And all of a sudden now it's like, wow, we can go to a cafe and stuff. Like, I mean, where we are right now, I found a cafe nearby me that you can have a coffee outdoors. Because they have a couple of table and chairs. That's their way of getting around it. And it was the weirdest thing ever. It was something that I was like, I completely taken for granted before, and I will never take this for granted ever again. Not a chance.
Oh, yeah. The other day we went to... we went to our factory. I'm sure we'll talk about the Stay Wild business down the line. But our factory, the owner of the factory has an Italian wife who is a chef. And they have a cafe in the factory. And we were there for work. But she was like, oh, I'll cook you guys some lunch while you're here in between our meetings. And we sat down and had lunch served to us on plates. And I was like, oh my God, this is phenomenal. Like a meal has never tasted so fantastic. Like, thank you so much for like delivering this food to me.
Literally their job. And you're so grateful for it. Yeah. It's just the way it is. It's brilliant. Speaking of Stay Wild, you are the co-founder of Stay Wild Swim. The swimwear is crafted from ocean plastic and all made locally in London. You know, what gave you the inspiration to start this business?
Well, if you follow me back in like 2018 sort of time, I really got into like ocean plastic, beach cleans. So there was like this transitional moment. I was in Jamaica doing a work trip. And near the hotel, there's this beach which nobody was on. Mm-hmm. And it was just covered in plastic. And me and my boyfriend were like, okay, let's get some bags and clean it up. And I posted a picture online. And this was like pre the hype of that sort of stuff.
Anna,
and
you're like, I'm owning this. I started this.
I started cleaning
beaches.
Next
thing you know, now Zana's going to tell us she invented the selfie as well. This is where this is going.
I definitely did not. I followed like all of the Surfers Against Sewage people. So I knew that this sort of action was valuable, but I had never done it. Uh-huh. And then when I posted it online, it just blew up. And I realized like, okay, people want to hear about these issues and people want to take action. So I started leading beach cleans all over. I did them all over the world. I did them in like Hawaii and Bali and then also all across the UK. And really got into fighting ocean plastic and then realized, because I used to be an ambassador for Adidas and they have the Parley branch where they make shoes out of ocean plastic. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. I wonder what else you can make out of ocean plastic. Uh-huh. Did some research, realized you can make fabric. And then next thing you know, me and my co-founder, Natalie, we were embarking on making things out of ocean plastic.
It's and such the swimwear an amazing happened. Journey. You know, like how many people can you talk to that say that they've traveled the world, you know, cleaning plastic off beaches and they've turned it into their own business? Like that is absolutely amazing. And then I suppose I can take us into the Forbes 30 under 30. And I have to ask you how that feels, even though I know what the answer is probably going to be. You're hardly going to turn around to me like, oh, it was like the worst thing that's ever happened in my life. How does it feel? Like it must be amazing.
It's very, very, very surreal. And if I'm honest, I have a lot of imposter syndrome about it. I'm like, why? Why did we get it? But I've had like some conversations and I feel like even though we're not the biggest business in the world, like we're a business that's doing well, but we're not like, you know, we're not a multi-million conglomerate, et cetera. But I think it's because we're forging a new path in the fashion industry. We're doing things very differently. We don't have seasons. We have like a slow fashion model, a zero waste factory. Like everything we do is very different. So I think perhaps we got it because we're doing things differently. So I'm trying to convince myself that I do deserve it.
Of course you deserve it, yeah.
I'm very, very grateful. And it's just, you know, it's life goals. So I'm pretty chuffed.
Yeah, and so how does, like, do you get an email? Do you get a phone call? You know, what's the notification to let you know that you've been on this?
So basically, my business partner knew that we were in the running.
Okay.
And we both had answered a lot of questions they'd sent over, et cetera, about it. And then we knew the day that it was coming out and my business partner set an alarm for 6 a.m. to check the Forbes website.
Yeah.
So I woke up at 6:15 to texts in capital letters. We're on the list.
No way.
I was like, oh my God. And we didn't get an email until like 10 a.m. that morning. So yeah, we found out long before they told us. They don't tell you till later in the morning. I'm like, if you're on this list, you want to know.
Of course. You know? Yeah. And obviously then your co-founder, she was checking the website from 6 a.m. So she had obviously done the inside scoop to know it was going to be up there that early.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, very surreal.
Amazing. Let's talk a bit about hiking and spending time outdoors. It's a huge passion for you. Yeah. Have you got any advice for someone who is interested in starting hiking? Because I feel like now, especially, you know, in Ireland, it's going to be a huge thing this summer. I really, really do. Because obviously we're going to be limited to the stuff that we can do. You know, staycations will probably be a thing. And rather than, you know, people jetting off to go on their walks down Costa del, whatever it might be, you know, they're going to look towards the likes of hikes and walks, and they might need that little bit of a push. Is there any advice you can give to those people?
I would just say, like, get out there. I think what holds people back is the fear of being outside, either on their own or just like, if you haven't been raised in the outdoors, I think there's a lot of like, oh, can I just walk there? Can I just do that? Yes, you can. We have the right to roam. So there's lots of amazing trails. I actually recommend this app called All Trails. I think it's global, so you'll have it in Ireland as well. And you can just put in your local area, the sort of distance you want to do, the sort of trail you want to do, and it'll give you all the trails in your area. You can download them so they're offline. So if you lose signal when you're hiking, you can still check the maps. And it just is a nice way to find new areas around you and new trails to try. And you can just start off doing like a 5K or 7K, and then you can get into it and be like, right, 25K, let's go.
Let's go. So, yeah. I think, yeah. I don't know if you fell into this the same bracket that I did when I did my first one. And I left it feeling great. And I was like, I need to do this more often. And I didn't. You know what I mean? I was like, that felt so good. I need to keep doing this. And then I didn't. And then I did another one a couple of months later. And I was like, okay, let's keep this up. And again and again and again, I keep falling off the wagon. So for someone like me who enjoys it, it's just a case of, you know, getting up to do it. Like, is it a case where you wake up and you're just like, yeah, let's go explore? Or is it a case sometimes where you do have to drag yourself out of your house to go and do it?
Oh, I always want to do it. But I think you've got to schedule it in. So like, I won't just wake up one day and be like, oh, let's go for a long hike, because it's going to be like 4 or 5 hours out of your day, right? So I can't just, I like to plan.
Yeah, you like to plan, you figure that out, yeah.
So I like to schedule it ahead of time. That, like, okay, next Saturday, I'm going to do a long hike. I'm going to go do this hike in this area. I'm going to pick the trail ahead of time. Mm-hmm. I'm going to meet this friend there, etc. So I just say, like, plan it in, put it in your diary like an appointment. But I think, like, once you've got into it, it just, it's what you want to do. I don't know, like, once you're into it, you can't get out. It's just the best way to explore.
And would the weather make a difference to you when it comes to it, or does it not matter?
My mother always says, no such thing as bad weather, just bad clothing choices. So yeah, I just wrap up and put on all the layers and the waterproofs and get out.
Yeah. Okay, now this is the bit that I'm really excited to talk to you about, and it's about your diet, because you're plant-based.
Mm.
When did you make the transition to becoming plant-based?
It was a gentle, gradual transition. Okay. So I went veggie over 4 years ago, like 4 years and a couple of months. It was my anniversary a few weeks ago. And yeah, I went veggie because I read a book called Eating Animals. Don't know if you read the book. Great book.
Okay.
The moment I closed the last page, I was like, peace out, meat and fish. Like, ain't having that anymore. My boyfriend read it. The minute he closed the last page, he went vegetarian.
Okay. That was going to be one of my questions down the line was, is he a meat eater, and how does that work? So no, obviously he read the book too, and the two of you guys are plant-based together, or is he still just vegetarian?
So what happened was, we both went veggie similar time. He probably went like a month after me when I was like, just try this book. And he was like, all right. And then we were both veggie for maybe like 6-7 months. And then I actually went on a work trip to California, which Ant went on with me, my boyfriend. And I said to him, join this trip. It's like 3 weeks. Like, I'm just going to be vegan because it's California. Like, it's so
easy over there, isn't it? Yeah.
So let's just give it a go. So went on this trip and ate 100% plant-based for the whole trip, and then kind of didn't really look back. I was very, very, very strict for about a year and a half. Then I had my bowel surgery. After my bowel surgery, I couldn't eat a lot of fiber, so I had to incorporate like dairy and eggs for a little bit of time to allow my bowel to adjust. And after that, I've been plant-based rather than vegan. Mm-hmm. I'm not strict vegan anymore. And my boyfriend is the same. We're both like plant-based with a few little leniences.
I got you. Yeah. I've had a couple of people say that to me before as well, when I was doing the correct terminology, you know, they were faceless profiles. They were telling me, stop saying you're vegan. You know, if you could please use the term plant-based, that'd be so much better. So I know exactly where you're coming from with that. And another, you know, part of it that really interests me is your training and obviously your hiking and stuff. And did you find like I got better when you made the transition to plant-based? Has it affected you at all? You know, because the biggest worry, and I'm sure you get asked this a million times, is Zana, how do you get your protein in?
You know what? I have this answer, which I don't think satisfies people. And that's that I don't feel any different. Okay. Which, like, I've always felt good.
Uh-huh, great. Yeah.
So I'm a very energized human being. And from the moment that I started eating plant-based, I was making sure that I was eating a balanced diet with all my supplements, etc. So I never had that moment where a few people, when they start eating plant-based, go like, oh, I have no energy. Oh, I feel so hungry. Oh, I feel unsatisfied. And I feel like I went into it, because it was gradual over the course of like 7-8 months before I really made that switch, that I would kind of went into it and made sure I did it right, so mm-hmm. that I didn't have any real adverse consequences. But in terms of protein, so I haven't actually tracked a single day of food since I went plant-based, what, 3.5 years ago. So I have no idea how much protein I eat, but I know that back when I was in the bodybuilding days, I would eat more than 150 grams of protein a day, up to 180 when I was in the peak of my madness. and now, if I had to take a guess, I'd be eating less than half of that. And I don't think that's an issue, yeah. because my body, if anything, I'm fitter and stronger than I was.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily, you have to have enough protein to support your recovery, but I don't think you need it in the excessive quantities that I used to consume it. And I think there was a bit of an obsession that I had in my early days of fitness where I thought I must have 150 grams of protein. If I don't have 150 grams of protein, I'm quite a tall girl, quite a big lass. So I was like, I need a lot of protein to fuel my tall bod.
Yeah.
Actually, I am probably eating less than half of what I used to eat in terms of protein quantities, and my body is thriving, and I haven't lost muscle. In fact, I've gained muscle. So I don't necessarily think you need to be too worried about it. I don't want to ever say, like, don't think about protein, because I think that's not a wise thing to suggest. I think you should be conscious, and I try and make sure, and it's helped by the fact that my boyfriend, he cares about protein. So we both like to make sure that there's like a protein source in each meal, whether that's beans or legumes uh-huh. or something. We're not completely not eating any protein, but we're also not obsessing over it. So yeah.
I feel like it's kind of oversold to people in the health industry as this, like, you know, necessity. And that's why I think people end up kind of, you know, eating more than they actually need. You know, like, I think, yeah. I feel like you go into a shop these days and like they can slap an extra euro onto a product and say there's an extra 10 grams of protein in this, and someone's going to buy it because it's like, it sounds beneficial to them, you know? So yeah. to hear someone like you say, well, technically my protein intake's been cut by half, I still feel great, I still probably look the same, so that it's not necessary is nice to hear, you know? And earlier on,
yeah,
the podcast,
and my carb intake,
that's the thing, they're the fun, and carbs are the fun part, you know, aren't they? Like, that's where the fun really is when it comes to food. Absolutely.
And my carbs are probably like up by a third or a half.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
They're so much higher because the protein's gone down and then the carbs have filled those calories. And I don't look any different. There's this huge fear mongering around carbohydrates, and I just think, yeah. like, vegetables are carbs, and you're not going to stop eating vegetables, so just stop panicking, everyone.
on the podcast earlier, we were talking about planning. So if we're talking about a plant-based diet, and obviously, you know, it's getting better out there for people who are plant-based to eat out, you know, do you have to plan your day when it comes to food, or are you in a position where you're living, you know, you can go out and easily pick up things, or how do you go about it?
I'm chill, and I think that's because I've lived in London until about 9 months ago. So living in London is the ultimate place to eat plant-based. Like, it's so easy. But even now, I live in Surrey, which is just outside London, like a 30-minute train in. And the village that we live in has a fully vegan restaurant.
Oh, wow.
So I'm very lucky. And there's cafes around me that have, like, vegan croissants, vegan pain au chocolat. We have... like, everything has a plant-based option nowadays. I feel like it's 2021. Come on. So everybody's trying to provide for those plant-based people. My friend who lives in the village just said that there's a pub that does a fully vegan roast that we need to go to now that everything's opening up.
Fully vegan roast. Wow.
Yeah. And that's like where I live, in the countryside. So it's becoming more and more accessible to get hold of this sort of food and to go out to eat. So.
And how does your Christmas dinner look then? That's the question I get asked a lot, not eating meat.
Yeah, so we had the Linda McCartney beef roast thing. Do you know the one that comes in the freezer? So we had that with some Bisto gravy. Can't beat a bit of Bisto.
No, absolutely not. Like,
and then we had roast potatoes, roast carrot, roast parsnips, sprouts, like everything you would normally have.
Anyway, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But just
without the turkey and ham. Yeah. And again, like we said, the carbs are probably the best part. So
yeah, all about the potatoes, isn't it?
Yeah, all about the roast potatoes. Absolutely. Let's talk about some of the places that you've been to now, because you've been lucky enough to work with tourism boards across the globe. You know, some of the places you listed earlier on, like, sound amazing. You know, does one place stand out, you know, that you can't wait to go to again? Or is there somewhere new, like your first visit after you're, you know, when you're allowed to travel again, will you go back to somewhere you've been, or are you going to pick somewhere new?
So it's hard for me to pick one top place, but just before the first lockdown, me and my boyfriend were traveling through New Zealand with the tourism board for just under a month, and one of the best trips of my life, New Zealand. Like, if you like hiking,
oh yeah,
New Zealand is the one. Like, oh my God.
It feels like they've got everything sorted at the moment.
Oh no, they're just smashing it, aren't they? But yeah, it actually is just a phenomenal place. And you'll go to the most beautiful scenery. Like, we went to this waterfall, which has like a cave behind it, and you can like go behind the waterfall, jump into the pool and swim and this and that. And it's so stunning. And there's nobody there because it's like hardly any population, you know, it's such a low population density that you get places to yourself that you would just, if that waterfall existed in England, you just would be there with 2,000 other people. So
yeah, yeah,
it was incredible. You feel like you just get to really enjoy nature. And if I had to come a little bit closer to home, because God knows when we'll next be able to travel to New Zealand, I would say Switzerland. Last summer I went to Switzerland a couple of times when the borders opened. It's only a 1-hour flight, so it's nice and easy. Mm-hmm. And it's probably one of my most visited countries, if not my most visited country in the world after America. And it is just phenomenal hiking. Like, if you want to be, so Switzerland as a country, 50% of its landmass is mountains. So if you want to hike, that's the place to go.
Yeah.
So Switzerland and New Zealand.
Oh, well, okay. They're two countries that have never been said to me before. So that's great to hear. And then when it comes to you being plant-based, you know, like when you have to do that on the road or in the air, essentially, how do you find that? Are you able to like pre-book the meals on a plane? You know, when you get to certain countries, you find that they're accommodating?
It depends on the country, doesn't it? I'd say Switzerland is probably one of the worst.
I was just going to ask what's the worst and what's the best. Yeah, okay.
Switzerland is so bad. But only if you're out in the mountains. If you're in like Zurich, it's like one of the vegetarian capitals of the world. It's where the first vegetarian restaurant was in Zurich. So it's amazing there.
Yeah.
But once you get out into the mountains, it's just like cheese and cheese. So it's
and there's no vegan cheese, is there? No.
Oh, absolutely not.
No.
So that was definitely a challenge for me in Switzerland. The food is just like, okay, we're going to be a little bit flexible on this trip.
I was going to say, is that when it gets lenient and you're kind of like, okay, I'll have a little bit of cheese that I'm here.
Well, it's just like, oh, this rosti has some cheese in it and they can't make it without cheese. All right, I'll have the rosti. Do you know what I mean?
Honestly, so refreshing to hear someone who is, you know, plant-based and you're clearly like an advocate for it, but yet you're still like, look, you know, there are times when I kind of, you know, have to have something that's not plant-based.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way it should be, you know?
I have a friend who is really, really, really strict vegan, and we traveled together, and she would end up eating plain rice with ketchup because she wouldn't be willing to let things go a little bit. And I'm like, mate, you just sometimes, just to nourish yourself, like, just let yourself have something. Otherwise, you're going to be eating plain rice with ketchup for 3 meals in a row, and it ain't fun. So... So I try and be flexible in terms of flights and stuff. You can always pre-book a plant-based meal. I tend to choose Asian vegetarians as a top tip for people. Don't choose the fully vegan meal because it actually tends to be awful.
Okay.
Choose Asian vegetarian, and it's usually vegan anyway. And then it actually has more flavor. It's like a nice curry and delicious. Recommend that.
And where is on the list that you haven't been before? I feel like that's a shorter list than the places you have been.
There's a lot of places. Canada is the top.
Okay.
Canada, Japan, and randomly Albania.
Oh, Albania. Is there a reason for it?
Yeah, because I went to Montenegro the summer before last on a road trip, and it blew my mind. Again, everything ties back to hiking. It's like one of the best places I've been for hiking. And they have a mountain range on the south border of Montenegro with Albania, and I want to do that mountain range from the Albanian side. So, yeah, so I'd say like Albania, in Canada for hiking, and then Japan for culture. So,
wow, amazing. Yeah. When I look back,
the world opens up soon. Let's just hope.
Yeah, literally. I'm looking back at all the things we've spoken about here, Zana, and I'm trying to think that if I was in your position and someone asked me this question, I wouldn't even know where to start. But I have to ask it, you know, from from your business to the Forbes under 30, even your transition, you know, from being kind of in that kind of bodybuilding lifestyle to now kind of living more for like a, you know, a healthy lifestyle, you know, what would be your proudest, you know, your proudest achievement to date? Like, well, what does Anna look back and go, yeah, I'm proud of that?
Well, I mean, I think because it's because of the forefront of my mind, it would be Forbes 30 under 30.
Of course, yeah.
I think everything with Stay Wild, everything with that brand has just really blown me away. Like the things that we've achieved, that like we went to London Fashion Week, we met Anna Wintour, who she's like a quite important person in fashion. And she complimented our swimsuits, complimented our pieces. And I don't know, the feedback we get from our customers, everything with that business, I'm just like, damn, I'm so proud of what we've created. And we haven't compromised our ethos any step of the way. And we really could do, because it would be a lot cheaper and a lot easier.
And you'd make a lot more money as well.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. we could make things a lot easier for ourselves if we did compromise our ethics, but we're not willing to. And I feel very proud that it's been over 3 years and we haven't cut a single corner. Uh-huh. So I would just say, that business. And I ultimately, like, I love social media, and I don't know where social media is going to go, because we are at the forefront of this industry, and I don't know what I'll want to do with it in 10 years time, but I'd like to think that I'll still be running Stay Wild in 10 years time. So like, that's a business that I hope leaves a legacy, a positive legacy. So I'm very proud of Stay Wild.
And did you find it was a little bit of a struggle when the pandemic hit? Did you obviously, I can only imagine you guys did take a hit, you know, so
yeah.
How did you manage with that? Because obviously now you'll be able to kind of go back up, we presume, with, you know, summer coming up and restrictions easing, you know, like how did you deal with that?
Well, it was interesting because we thought it was just going to absolutely screw us over.
Yeah.
Because we had a whole new collection that was supposed to come out in spring last year. We had like so many big things that were happening for the business last year that couldn't happen. But we actually ended up just keeping our same collection and changing the colors, changing the fabrics, changing things, and then re-releasing them and kind of keeping things fresh in that way. We pivoted, we thought on our feet, did things a bit differently. We actually ended up having the best year of sales we'd ever had.
Oh, wow.
Which shocked us, but that's because, number one, we had like a heat wave in the UK from April. So,
okay, all right, rub it in. You know what I mean?
Everyone was like in their gardens from April and wanted swimwear to wear. So we were like, hi, we sell that. we thought on our feet. And also, we pivoted our business last year to go from just swimwear into also doing underwear and like essential pieces. And that was a really big move for us because it means we're not a seasonal brand. We can.
Got you.
Like, you can't really sell a swimsuit in December in England, you know? No. So, but you can sell like essentials in December and in January and in February. So it forced us to change. It forced our business model to change. It forced our approach to change. And the good thing is, because we don't have investors, it's all self-funded. We don't have to run any ideas past anyone. We can just do what we want to do.
Yeah.
And kind of experiment and be agile and change direction. And I really appreciated that freedom last year when all the challenges arose.
Yeah, so. It was literally all down to you at the end of the day.
Yeah, we just took a risk.
Yeah, no, and that's what's so inspiring about the whole thing. And I think your journey over the last 5 years is really inspiring, you know? So for everyone who's listening right now, who probably is in the same boat as me, before we let you go, you know, what would your main takeaways be for our listeners today, whether it's, you know, conscious living, from fitness to business, you know, is there anything that you could tell our listener right now that can help them on their own journey?
I would just say, with everything, just start. So whether that's getting out and going hiking, just start. Whether that's trying to eat more plants, just start. Whether that's launching a new business, just start. Like, I think we have a lot of barriers that we place on ourselves in our mind. I'm not ready. I can't do that yet. It's not the right time in my life. And we hold ourselves back from things that we actually want to do. So if you can just take the first step, even if you want to launch a new business and it's just setting aside 1 hour an evening to start setting up the company's house or et cetera, just start.
Just
because if you wait for the perfect time, you'll never do it. So
there's never a perfect time, is there?
Exactly. So that's my main piece of advice, and I just try and do that with everything in life.
Dana, it has been an absolute pleasure speaking to you, and I really, really mean that. You know, where can people find you online if they want to, you know, keep up to date with your journey over the next couple of years?
Oh, thank you. I would say come and join me on socials at Zanna Van Dijk, D-I-J-K. Nobody can spell my surname. And then also on YouTube, I do my vlogs every week and I love my vlogging family. So.
And how many times are you asked, are you related to the Liverpool centre-back?
Oh my God. You know, every time a reel goes viral, mate,
they're like,
every
is
time
you related?
A reel goes viral, it's like my DMs are just flooded with random men being like, are you Virgil van Dijk's cousin? I'm like,
can you get me a signed jersey, please? Yeah. That was the only reason why I was able to pronounce your name when I saw it. I was like, okay, well, Virgil, I wonder if they're related. Because Zana is a unique name as well. So is Virgil. I was like, I don't know, maybe they had mad parents. Who knows? Like,
yeah. I love that. But no, not related to him. But I get that question multiple times a week.
I'd say so, yeah. Zana, it has been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for joining us on the Wealthfast podcast in association with KBC.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to the Wealthfast podcast with me, Marty Guilfoyle, brought to you by KBC. Remember to check out wealthfest.ie for more free health and wellness resources. See you next time.